Now Matt Derrick, who I also visit out here.
Good luck following that one up.
Back in the 90s. So Matt Derrick from Chief Digest and Sports Radio 810 WHB. Matt, I know that, you know, hey, look, people used to have to follow the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, and now here you are. You're just going to have to figure out a way to follow Susan St. John on the show.
I mean, this was like seeing a double rainbow.
Yeah,
I
is
mean,
that right?
Seeing two St. Johns was fantastic.
Well, there's a lot of us running around. Trust me. And so let's. So you're out here now. Let this be noted: you were given the choice of going in studio with Nate Buchady or to Schlotsky's Austin Eatery with me, and here you are.
I was given the choice between you, Rudy, and Schlotsky's.
Right.
Or alone in studio with Nate and the mannequin.
Right. Well, that's it. So we
figured I'd probably a little bit safer here.
I feel like the mannequin is a plus there, but also the big plus was Rudy. So that's
Rudy's a big draw. Rudy's
Nate,
a big draw.
Are you offended by any of that, by any chance?
Well, it's more time for me and the mannequin alone, you know.
Right, well.
Hey, no.
Yeah, we heard.
Put your hands, no.
Don't be walking around the streets of Overland Park
with
that.
Right.
They're going to call the police.
Apparently, that's frowned upon by the police,
so,
which I still don't understand. But no, I'm not offended because
all right, Matt, you want to have a seat. I'm going to sit down now.
I think the tiebreaker is clearly the Cinnabon. I think he's chosen the Cinnabon over me, and
right.
I'm not offended by that because I would choose the Cinnabon over myself as well.
Okay, so we have Matt Derrick here, and we played the comments earlier in the show from Dave Tobe. DeAnthony Thomas is back. And so especially now after listening to Dave Tobe's comments, it just feels like, okay, Marcus Kemp got hurt, our top gunner, special team standout. We need a guy that could do what he could do, maybe not as well, but could do all those different things. Dave Tobe loves DeAnthony Thomas. He calls him one of, if not the toughest player pound for pound on the team. So here's DeAnthony Thomas. Is it that simple? DeAnthony Thomas now replaces Kemp, and he's on the 53-man. That's just how it works. Or does DeAnthony Thomas still have to show some stuff to make this football team?
I mean, he's going to have to obviously show some stuff. He's got to prove that he's recovered fully from both of the leg fractures. Obviously, if he's working out track and putting up good times and speed there, you got to feel pretty good about that. And they know what they're getting in DeAnthony Thomas. And you're right. I mean, the timing's not a coincidence. As Dave Tobe said, this maybe was something that was in the works anyway. Kemp's injury certainly accelerated it. But remember, you know, Kemp really started coming on special teams when Thomas went down last year. Took over a lot of his roles, like you talked about, on coverage and punt teams, gunner, all those things. And so they're different guys, different sizes, different skills. But, you know, Thomas has performed. He has performed in those roles, and they feel comfortable. And that's one of the things Dave Tobe really likes is he likes guys he can trust and likes veterans, and DeAnthony Thomas fills that.
How many receivers will they keep? And not that this is the most important thing, but this is a factor. Nate and Todd Lebo have a friendly wager about roster spots, and Byron Pringle may or may not be involved. And Nate is very nervous about Todd Lebo having that over him for the season, because it will be used repeatedly. And so should Nate be afraid right now? How many receivers will they keep, and who do you think is on the bubble right now?
I mean, I think they're going to keep six. I don't think it will be any more than that. I suppose there's a scenario where they only keep five, but I really think with the depth that they've got and how they want to run this offense, I think six is going to be the number.
But they don't think they'll keep seven?
I don't think they'll keep seven.
Okay.
I don't think they want to go that high, because they've got some other positions where they may need to keep some guys. And, yeah, I mean, if Thomas is here, he's going to be basically taking that Kemp spot. Kemp had nailed down a spot. He was going to be one of their top five. So I think Thomas probably fits into there, which leaves that sixth spot down to Pringle, and I think Cody Thompson is the next guy in that list. And, you know, from what we've seen, I mean, I think they're fairly even in snaps. Thompson's kind of getting a few more looks with the ones and getting mixed in there. So there's a chance, but I think it's down to those two guys right now.
Nate Buchady.
Why?
No, let's not flustered.
Well, maybe you can help us understand why DeAnthony Thomas wasn't on anybody's roster like coming into this. I mean, we're talking about expanded rosters. We're not even talking about a 53-man roster. Why wasn't he in anybody else's camp even at this point?
I mean, there's probably a couple of reasons for it. I mean, I don't think that the arrest that he had in January was that big of a factor. Now, the case didn't close until August, that they knew what his punishment was going to be. It wasn't too severe. He got fined. He's got a diversion program. So, in 12 months, if he's clean, charges are going to be dropped. Maybe that was a factor, maybe not. The injury certainly was a factor. I mean, teams would have wanted to look at the medicals, make sure that he was healthy. I think a big part of it is just that it's fit. You know, the Chiefs losing a guy, they wanted to get somebody who knows the offense, who can come in here, and that's a bigger deal than I think we make of it, is that the Andy Reid offense is complex. If you just bring somebody in off the street to be a receiver, it's not going to work. It's going to have to be somebody that you currently have or somebody who's familiar with the offense. And when it comes to the special teams aspect of it, Byron Pringle can do some things. Cody Thompson's brand new. You know, he really hasn't had a chance to do anything yet. And if Dave Tobe wants somebody that he can trust and a veteran, yeah, that's probably where DeAnthony Thomas does come into the equation and makes a lot of sense for this team and this team only.
But when it comes to you talk about how hard it is to pick up the offense, like when it comes to Byron Pringle, isn't the whole thing supposed to be that even though last year he was hurt, he was allowed to stick around and go to all the team meetings and meet with his wide receivers coach, and that he isn't just some guy off the street? He ought to have a little bit better. I mean, I guess it's hard for me to look at this and not see this as a sign that they have not been very impressed with what they've gotten from Byron Pringle so far in preseason. Am I overreacting in that regard?
I don't know. I don't know if they're overreacting. I think it's just a different skill set. I mean, I think that I think DeAnthony Thomas coming back has so much more to do with special teams than anything else. They just want somebody who's got experience of being able to beat double teams, somebody that has proven in games consistently that they can get down and make tackles and be a part of coverage team. Byron Pringle can probably do that. I mean, I think you got to believe that he's got the skill set to do that. He just hasn't. And for a Super Bowl team, I think they're trying to lean at this point, maybe error on the side of caution towards experience over maybe upside at this point.
So Pringle does have that experience of being around the team all of last year over Cody Thompson. But at some point, we need to recognize production. And, you know, we were all thrilled, 7 catches for 69 yards. I know Jake was just overjoyed with that. But he's looked good, and he's looked good in training camp. So at some points, hey, with the opportunities given to him, he's getting open, he's making catches, and so that needs to be rewarded. And so right now, do you think Thompson is ahead of Pringle?
Based on snap counts that we have seen of late, I would think that it's pretty close to dead. Even going into that game Saturday, I think Pringle was slightly ahead, but I think it's a lot closer now.
What about the running back depth chart? Look, we know as long as he's healthy right now, Damian Williams is the starter. After that, Darwin Thompson's looked the best.
Yeah.
He's looked outstanding. They like Darrell Williams, and he's got size that the other guys don't have. But then they brought in Carlos Hyde, who did not do himself any favors with that fumble. What's the hierarchy there right now?
I don't think there's any doubt at this point. Darwin Thompson has proven himself as the number two. I can't see that changing. I think he's found his way into that role. He's earned it. Now, how many running backs are you going to keep? I mean, I think 4 plus Anthony Sherman as a fullback for a 5th probably makes sense. It's probably where they'll end up. And you've got, you know, maybe 3 or 4 guys for that spot. And, yeah, you got Darrell Williams, Carlos Hyde in there for sure. You got to figure out what you're going to do with Tre'Mon Smith, if he's going to make this team and really what he is. And at this point, the way they're using him is it's really more of a hybrid. He's not really a running back. He's not really a wide receiver. He's kind of a special teams guy that just plays offense every once in a while. I think that the Chiefs are looking at this to a degree at their roster and saying, hey, we're a Super Bowl team. If something happens to Damian Williams, we want a veteran who's been there before, who's got some experience, and maybe that ends up being Carlos Hyde. If you don't go with Hyde, then you're going to be going with a lot of young guys behind Damian Williams. And that's not necessarily a bad move, and it's not something that wouldn't work, but, you know, Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy over the years have always kind of wanted to have a veteran that they could lean on, and Damian Williams was that guy last year. I mean, it ended up being you know, when they had injuries. If they've got injuries again, they'd like to have a veteran that they can lean on that they feel is reliable. Question is, like you said, Carlos Hyde has a fumble. It's kind of a bad move in that game. Does that bring into question just his reliability?
You know, Adam Teichman brings this up all the time. The past, what, you know, several seasons going back a ways, the guy that they've started with at running back, that's not the guy that they finished with. It seemed, you know, you had the you know, Jamaal Charles injury. You had the Spencer Ware injury. You had the situation with Kareem Hunt. And so they have had to go to that depth chart. And for a team that has utilized a veteran running back and has needed to go to a veteran running back, that would certainly factor in their decision-making. So that's a good point that you make.
And last few seasons, they've had that veteran. I mean, they've had Spencer Ware. They brought back Kendrick West a couple of times. You know, and Damien Williams was that guy last year, was a veteran that they brought in, you know, with the idea that, hey, if we lose somebody, we've got a veteran here who can pick up the slack. If something happens to Kareem Hunt, we got a guy that we feel like we can trust.
Nate Bucati, your questions for Matt Derrick.
So to go back to Darwin Thompson, somebody tweeted this at me. I don't know if you guys got this yesterday as well. Comparing Thompson's like combine numbers versus Kareem Hunt's, and I mean he beat Kareem Hunt in like every category: speed, strength, vertical leap, you know, bench press, all those things. I know he's smaller, and I know combine numbers don't mean anything, but is it possible we have a more explosive running back on our hands? In Darwin Thompson, who was smaller and picked later in the draft than Kareem Hunt?
I think times just it will be proven about whether that's the case. I think there's a possibility. I mean, this is an explosive guy, and you look at his college production and some of the things that he did. Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of the same type of skills that Hunt has. He's got that contact balance that the Chiefs love. Doesn't go down the first hit. I mean, there's a lot of similarities between those two. I mean, the biggest one's going to come down to his size. And, you know, Hunt had the body that can take the punishment. Now the question's going to be, can someone with a smaller stature like Darwin Thompson, can they take the same type of punishment as a bigger guy can?
We've got Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com and Sports Radio 810 WHB. You can read some of his work at 810WHB.com as well. You hang out for a little bit?
Absolutely.
All right, Matt Derrick is here for the rest of the hour. We are live out in Blue Springs at the brand new Schlotzky's Austin Eatery, beautiful new location, right next to the intersection of 40 Highway and 7 Highway, across the street from Quick Trip. Special appearance by Susan St. John, who's now going to order some delicious food from Schlotzky's Austin Eatery. While we're here this morning, you can buy one Cinnabon, get one free. A classic Cinnabon, buy one, get one free. That's the breakfast special. Then from 11 until 2, $4.99 lunch special, small original with chips and a 20-ounce drink. Good at all four locations. Blue Springs, Lee Summit, Overland Park, Olathe. I'm in Blue Springs. Schlotzky's Austin Eatery. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Cool moment. You know, it was kind of a cool moment that Jake decided to turn our mics on. But we're sitting here, Matt Derrick, ready as always with the headset on, and then you hear the new 810WHB.com promo, which this is going to shock you. That's actually voiced by Rudy. That's his rating. It changes. Not, you know, he's professional.
It was not Rudy.
And then all of a sudden you hear new 810WHB.com insider Matt Derrick. I say, hey, that's you.
I had not heard that
you
before.
Like that?
So that feels like a pretty big deal.
That was the first time you heard that?
That was the first time.
Did it make you feel good, or you're like, oh no, now my name's associated with this?
No, yeah. I felt pretty good.
You're in now.
And being with you when I heard it the first time, that made it more special.
You'll never forget.
810WHB.com is the place to follow all the latest with the Kansas City Chiefs. Check in every day for new videos, articles, columns from our 810 personalities.
This doesn't sound like Rudy.
And now from our newest Chiefs insider, Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com. If you can't get enough Chiefs, then make 810WHB.com your homepage. Find the best Chiefs coverage every day on 810WHB.com, powered by Sports Radio 810.
Nate's actually doing all our voice work now.
You're not supposed to tell people that.
Sounds just like him. Now we continue with our conversation with Matt Derrick live at Schlotzky's Austin Eatery in Blue Springs. You got to come out here. All four locations will honor the deal for buy one, get one free for the classic Cinnabons. They have so many Cinnabons made here ready, so fresh and delicious. Come out here, buy one, get one free. And then 11, the $4.99 lunch special starts. Small original with chips and a 20-ounce drink for just $4.99. And they've got a whole great new menu. The breakfast menu has breakfast tacos and burritos, all kinds of good stuff at you. And so come out and see me. All the T-shirts are gone because of Blame Rudy. But you can still get copies of the Sports Radio 810 Football Insider with a featured article by Mr. Matt Derrick. Matt Derrick joins us from 810WHB.com. That's where you're from. And so, Matt, let's talk a little bit about a little more about the defense. We talked about the offense and the depth chart at running back and wide receiver. You know what? One more tight end. So, Deion Yelder, do we have any idea how serious the ankle injury is? Is that going to cost him his roster spot? Is he going to have to be put on IR? Because it felt like, okay, here's Travis Kelce, here's Blake Bell, here's Deion Yelder, there's your three tight ends. Has that changed at all because of the ankle injury?
I don't know if it's changed a whole lot yet. If it were serious, and you know they're calling it an ankle sprain at this point, if it were something that they felt like was going to keep him from making the roster, really wouldn't be any reason not to make a move right now. So clearly they feel like they've got time to buy their options and see what's going to happen, see if he's going to be available. If he's injured come, you know, when you have to go down the cutdown, then, you know, your options are a little bit more limited. But he's been in that mix. I mean, he and Blake Bell, I think, have both looked pretty good. They're a little bit different tight ends. They're a little bit different styles. So it's going to be really kind of up to what the Chiefs feel like that they need in that position. And if they can keep three tight ends, I think they'd like to. I mean, because Andy Reid doesn't mind throwing some tight ends out there. At this point, it's really a mixture. And I think also it's going to a degree, have, you know, see what other teams do as well. Because I know the Chiefs have been looking at tight end as a position that, hey, if there's a veteran out there, somebody that becomes available, either through a trade or the waiver wire, maybe they get interested.
Okay, so to me right now, the most fascinating position battle is at cornerback. And I don't know. It seems like it changes every week. Like, we know Kendall Fuller, we know Bashaud Breeland, we know Charvarius Ward, and then we know eventually when Mo Claiborne is done with his suspension, even though we're going to get a chance to see him hopefully on Saturday in his first action in a Chiefs uniform, then he'll be suspended for the first four games. But after that, I mean, you've been out there every single practice. You know, for a while there, DeMontre Wade, now he's the young guy that's really stepped up. Then, you know, hey, Mark Fields, he had a couple of nice plays against the Bengals. Maybe he's going to make the team. Now everyone seems like he's jumping on the Herb Miller bandwagon. Rashad Fenton was the only guy of those that I mentioned that was an actual draft pick. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Or maybe they're going to go out and get a guy that's not even on the roster right now. And so every week I ask you this question, and it seems to change. So let's just focus on those four: Rashad Fenton, Herb Miller, Mark Fields, and DeMontre Wade. What are your power rankings there as these young, inexperienced corners try to make a roster spot?
I mean, if you just go strictly based on snap counts, what we've seen in training camp, practice, the preseason games, DeMontre Wade's probably still number one on that list, and Herb Miller, I would say, is two. It's probably a closer race between Fenton and Fields. Fields has probably been a little bit better than Fenton. They've really have pigeonholed Fenton into that slot position, and that's where they're hoping that he can eventually blossom into a guy there in that spot.
And he was a sixth-round pick when I say that.
He's a sixth-round pick.
But that's not going to be like if somebody clearly outplays him, we got to, this team's cut third-round picks before.
Absolutely. Exactly. I mean, so they will not be afraid to do that. But you're right. And it's complicated in a sense that Mo Claiborne has to make the 53 roster coming out of the preseason before he goes to the suspended list. So you're probably going to have to keep at least five. Do you have to keep a sixth corner when you go to cutdowns just to make sure that you don't lose the guy that you want to be there while Mo Claiborne's on the suspended list? That's going to be a factor into it. And once again, I mean, we talked about keeping an eye on the waiver wire and what's available via trade. Mm-hmm. It's another position that Brett Veach will be looking at, because he did the exact same thing last year, moving Parker Anger to pick up Travaris Ward. They're looking at corners all around the league. If there's a guy that they like that shines, and there's a position group that maybe that's a guy's not going to make a roster in another town, and they think they can go make a trade right now to get him, they will.
And before we go back to Nate, and you guys can comment on this too, I think we've seen enough now of a track record. When Brett Veach makes one of those deals, feel good about it because they gave a draft pick for Cam Irving. And say what you want, he's at least been serviceable. He's stepped up. He started games. He's been much better than he was in Cleveland, and that was a trade worthwhile. Reggie Ragland, he still has a chance to make an impact again this year, but it's not like a guy they traded and then you never heard from him again. He's been a big part of this defense. Parker Anger for Charvarius Ward looks like an absolute steal right now. What if they hadn't have made that trade?
Yeah.
You know, that was that one hell of a trade.
And that's something that, you know, Veach and his staff really look for and identify, because that was a case where they did. They saw Dallas, hey, here's a team that's got a lot of corners. There's a young guy that we really like that probably isn't going to make their team. They're in a desperate need for offensive linemen. We've got some depth there, and they were able to make the deal. The Chiefs have some positions of depth. They've got some currency, I think wide receiver, I think defensive line. They've got a couple of spots where, hey, if there's a team that's got a needs for a receiver, needs an offensive line, or needs a defensive lineman, and they've got a corner we like, there's a tight end that we like, they've got the ability to make that deal, and they're absolutely looking around to see what's out there.
Nate Bucchetti.
So we hear a lot about Tano Passanio these days. When you watch the Chiefs broadcast, they rave about him. You see stuff that you know is getting leaked by the team to other, you know, national media members who talk about how good he's looking. Do you think they really like him that much, or are they trying to build up his trade value to go get one of those corners when you talk about a position of depth being on that defensive line?
Yeah, that's where this time of year it's hard to say for sure. I will say this. I mean, NFL teams, for the most part, you know, they don't like to waste their resources, especially this time of year, which their resources snaps. And if there's a guy that's not going to be a part of the team, you know, they typically don't want to give him that work. If you're going to showcase somebody, maybe you showcase him in the preseason games to make him a little bit more prominent. But in this case, it's really hard to tell, because they're saying all the things that would lead you to believe that Tano Passanio is a big part of their plan this year off the bench. They're investing a lot of snaps into him during the preseason. And I generally feel like it's usually an Occam's razor thing with this, that if, you know, if we are not outside looking in and we think that they're showcasing somebody, the reality is that usually they aren't. It's just somebody that they really like. And with Tano, it's not any different than the last three seasons. He's impressed every preseason he's been here. And every offseason, his struggle has been translating it into regular season success. And right now, Steve Spagnuolo looks like he's really impressed with what he's seen. And now that you've got Passanio in a position that he's much more comfortable in, he's really having a lot of fun, which I don't think that he had the last couple of years. Maybe that's going to be enough to make a difference.
What's your level of concern with Breland Speaks and his knee injury? Because, you know, everyone was talking about Marcus Kemp, and not very many people were mentioning that knee injury, and that could be bad for a kid. Again, trying to find his way in this new defense that supposedly is more suited to his skills.
Yeah, hopefully we'll learn more after practice today from Andy Reid, because what we learned on Tuesday did make the alarm bells go off a little bit when they said they're still evaluating the knee. You're still evaluating the knee 4 days after a game when he gets hurt. That's a little worrisome. At the same time, at this time of year, caution is not a problem. I mean, if you're just making sure that there's nothing wrong, you can give him a break. There's no regular season games. Give him the time off. He's shown enough at this point to have made the roster that he'll be there. It's just a matter of just how severe that is. Hopefully we'll know more later today. But you're right. I mean, right now I think you have to look at it with a little bit of interest, because they've been very vague about it.
So I was super impressed with Ben Neiman, that linebacker last year before he got hurt. And so now here I am again, super impressed with Ben Neiman.
Yep.
Do I need someone to talk me out of this, or should I just go with being super impressed with Ben Neiman?
I think be super impressed with Ben Neiman. You know, the Chiefs have, I think, five linebackers that they are pretty comfortable with. You know, hey, would I like to have more? And, you know, maybe some upgrades at spots, perhaps, but that's a group that I think they're ready to roll with. You know, Damian Wilson has looked really good, too, coming in.
He has.
I think they've been really happy with that front trio, including, you know, Reggie Ragland, who's usually the guy that comes out in sub packages. But no, Ben Neiman, Darren Lee, both those guys, I thought looked really good Saturday. They're good pursuit guys, and Ben Neiman really fits what Spagnuolo wants to do, which is guys that can find the gap and hit it hard, and he does that.
Where are we at with Dorian O'Daniel?
That's the biggest mystery with the Chiefs this year, I think, because it's been a mystery why he can't seem to get above the third team in practice. We're not he's getting out there with the thirds and the fourths in these preseason games. That's troublesome for a second-year guy. He should be, at this point, on the upswing, and right now he's taking a step backwards as far as the snap counts go, and frankly, you know, we really probably haven't seen enough of him to evaluate him at this point.
We've got Matt Derrick out here live at Schlotsky's Austin Eatery in Blue Springs. Back after this to wrap things up on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I've got Matt Derrick here from, you know what, damn it, Matt Derrick, you're from 810WHB.com after that promo. I like it. I love it. And Nate wants some more of it. Jake Pounders or Nate Buchady, I've monopolized Matt Derrick's time right now. And so I'd like to offer you the chance to question Matt Derrick on anything concerning the Chiefs or life or any enhancement pills available at gas stations. Matt said he could answer any of those questions for you. Jake, anything? Nate Buchady, would you like to say something to Matt Derrick before I release him back onto 7 Highway?
This is for both of you guys since we're coming up on our third preseason game. Did you guys see this story that the Indianapolis Colts, who of course have a connection to the Kansas City Chiefs with, you know, their front office and all, are basically not going to play most of their starters on their third preseason game. This preseason continues to get de-emphasized by a lot of coaches, but we don't really see that, supposedly anyway, from Andy Reid yet. What do you guys think? Do you think that the Chiefs should start to play their starters less? Do you think they might do that, even though Andy Reid says they won't? I'm just kind of curious what your guys' thoughts are on that story from the Colts.
Okay, I have two thoughts that do not mesh well together. Wrap Mahomes in bubble wrap. I don't want him to be harmed in any way before regular season game one. Everyone else, I'm not overly concerned about it because what does Andy Reid do every year? They come out and they look terrific. He knows he runs a hell of a training camp, and they get out to fast starts. Like the Chargers. We depend on that pretty much. The Chargers come out and blow out the first month of the season, and the Chiefs look terrific. And so whatever he does, he's doing it right, and he's done it right for a long time. And every year, way more times than not, he has his football team, regardless of the quarterback, the personnel, the city, whatever, they are playoff contenders. That is a winning head coach. And so I have a hard time trying to tell him to do something different when it's been so successful. But wrap your protective arms around Patrick Mahomes and say, no hits, no more hits on you, my beautiful young quarterback. I'm sorry that got weird for Matt Derrick. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was pretty interesting that the Colts decided to do that because I believe they're playing the Bears this weekend.
Yes.
Which Matt Nagy did the same thing last year. He pulled all of his starters in week three against the Chiefs. So now there's two teams with Andy Reid ties and Chiefs ties that are doing that kind of thing. Reid is obviously a very old school guy. He's got an approach that he believes his works, but you're seeing some bend to it too, because traditionally, yeah, I mean, first preseason game is the starters get the first quarter, and he didn't do that this year. I mean, he scaled it back. He scaled it back last week, you know, first half. Nope. Everybody's getting two series. You know, now it's usually when they play a half, maybe into the third quarter. Based on what we've seen, I don't think you're going to see the starters that long. I think he's going to start going to the bench much, much earlier than that. So I think there's been a little bit of bend in what Andy Reid does. But then again, to Steven's point, the last few seasons, they've come out of the gates hotter than anybody in the league. And you got to think there's something that Andy Reid's doing that's right. And if it's maybe it is getting his guys ready in the preseason games earlier than everybody else in the league, hey, if that translates into a couple of wins that maybe you wouldn't have gotten otherwise, that's a good reason to keep doing it.
You have anything to say about that, Pounders?
No, I think Chris Ballard's on to something. There's no reason to play your key players in these games. I mean, you can get enough reps in the 4 or 5 weeks of preseason that you should have them up to speed. I mean, maybe a series in the third, you know, but there's no reason to step on the field in the fourth game. And really, the first two, I mean, How many reps do you need live in person if you're Patrick Mahomes to be ready? I mean, he can simulate what he needs to in practice. He's going to take enough hits in season that he doesn't need to take any extra during preseason. It's Chris Ballard, smart move, and that's I think he's done a great job while he's been in Indianapolis. And if this is his call, then just another wise move from Chris Ballard.
And then again, there's nothing they can do to apparently keep Andrew Luck happy.
Right,
so,
right. You know. Jeez.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's...
That saga's... It's an interesting story over there.
The article I've read, quotes Frank Reich mostly, and he obviously is like one of the hot young coaches, or new coaches, I should say, anyways, in the league. But I'm going to be interested to see how it goes, because I'm with you guys, especially now that there is so much less full contact hitting in actual training camp. It seems to me like you'd almost feel like these preseason games are more important, because you do got to do some live action stuff, right? Like, you got to actually play the game at full speed and full contact a little bit, you would think, before the season starts. Maybe not. I'm with you guys. I don't really have any fault with the way Andy Reid's done it, because his team's ready to play at the start of the season. And we've seen other coaches like Todd Haley mess with that, and those teams have come out looking like a clown show to start the season. So I'm going to... You know me, I'm picking the Colts to be one of the surprise disappointments this year. So I'll be interested to see how they start the season.
Thank you very much to Matt Derrick and Susan St. John for appearing live out here at Schlotsky's Austin Eatery in beautiful Blue Springs. You can still get buy one, get one free original Cinnabons, and then an 11, it's the $4.99 lunch special, a small original and chips and a drink for $4.99. Get it all four locations. Blue Springs, thank you for having me. Everyone have a great day right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.